Hey, everybody, it's Gabby, Communications Director with the Montana Democratic Party and co-host of our newest podcast. Join us weekly as we unpack and demystify the chaos and the excitement that is the Montana legislative session. In this podcast, we'll spotlight important bills, interview lawmakers and stakeholders, and give you all the top lines you need to know and understand news out of Helena. Thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another week of Blue Bench Podcast. Boy, Shannon, it's been another whirlwind here in Helena. What is on your mind? What happened this week that's got your attention?
Yeah, lots going on. And really, you know, to filter through all of the things that were happening, I would definitely encourage folks to watch what's happening in Medicaid and maintaining Medicaid. And then also property taxes, a lot about property taxes right now. And taxes in general, fair taxes. There were two bills introduced by Representatives Jonathan Carlin and Representative Mark Thain. One looking at, we call it a homestead exemption. If it's the home that you live in, you're going to pay a different tax than if it's a second home or a third home or a fourth home. And then another option is looking at, we have what's called an elderly tax credit, an elderly income tax credit, and that might be, is proposed to be expanded for people who have an income that qualifies them to compensate for that. And then there's also a focus on renters, because if property taxes are going up, that trickle down effect is really having an impact on renters, because landlords have to increase those rents, compensating for the higher taxes. So those are the two things. Essentially, this week we saw two bills on Medicaid. One, Mary Cafaro's bill that looked at just to simplify it, and I'm simplifying these bills, but simplifying it, looked at eliminating the sunset. There was a sunset and that's why that's the hot topic, or one of the hottest topics for the legislative session, but just eliminating the sunset so that it will continue indefinitely unless a legislator introduces a bill to end Medicaid expansion. The other bill essentially ends, it's Carl Glimm, Senator Glimm's bill, ends Medicaid expansion. And that, to me, is just, the thought is heartbreaking. We have upwards of potentially 80,000 people who are at risk of losing their health care coverage if we were to not continue this. And we're looking at 90% of Medicaid expansion is covered by the federal government, and 10% is covered by the state. So it's, certainly we pay federal taxes too. However, it's a very, very, very affordable opportunity for us to ensure that people are taken care of in their health concerns. And, you know, we have a mental health crisis that's happening, and we see it with our kids. The statistics of youth who have attempted suicide or who have suicidal ideas and thoughts is just heart-wrenching, and we need to deal with these.
Yeah, and from my understanding, Medicaid expansion keeps the lights on in rural medical facilities across the state. Is that right?
Yeah, so there are a lot of these, we call them critical access hospitals or small-town clinics that are funded in large part by Medicaid and this Medicaid expansion. And then we also, we would see a great number of them likely closing up shop, which means someone in Sydney or Plentywood might have to travel to Miles City or might have to travel hours to get to a clinic that then may transfer them to Billings. So, you know, Montana's a huge state. And, you know, for those of us who've driven it quite a bit, it takes a long time to get from point A to point B. And this is a huge rural issue as well.
Yeah, I got to imagine this isn't a totally partisan issue. It seems like, you know, it doesn't matter where you are across the political spectrum, everybody needs access to health care. And I'm having a hard time understanding, you know, why folks wouldn't vote in favor of this one. But
well, I think that there are a large number of people on both sides of the aisle that are very supportive of this. So we'll see how it plays out and where it plays out. But hopefully we won't choose this one to be politicized to serve Montanans. It's that simple.
All right, Shannon, so we talked about property taxes. We talked about Medicaid. What else is on your mind?
So those are the two big ones for sure. But I did notice there was an article on House Bill 205, which deals with the death penalty. And there was a bill passed last legislative session. Was it last one or two sessions ago? Technically, the death penalty is legal in the state of Montana. However, there is no way to administer legally a death capital punishment because of the medication or the format that's used or the way that it's used. So there's another bill that came up that could change that language. And, you know, that's one of the issues I think that is foundational for a lot of people. And both Republicans and Democrats, it's not necessarily a party line. And so I'll just kind of be keeping an eye on that one. It's a curious one for me.
All right, guys, coming up next, we have an interview with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Montana's Executive Director, Martha Fuller. We are honoring and acknowledging January 22nd, which is the Roe v. Wade decision anniversary. With Martha, we'll be talking about just where reproductive freedom stands today in Montana and access to abortion and what she's thinking about in the future, especially with this latest administration change. Stay with us. It's going to be a great interview. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We have a very special guest with us. We have Martha Fuller, Executive Director of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Montana. Did I say that right, Martha?
You did.
Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Great. Well, my first question for you today, we're talking about the significance of January 22nd. And so I just wanted to back up and provide a little history, a little context for folks. What is the significance of this date, January 22nd, 1973?
Yeah, so this is the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, which, of course, was instrumental in the lives of so many people in our country having access to safe legal abortion for many, many, many years. I don't think we can underestimate the importance of the Roe decision for our country and for people in this country. And of course, celebrating the Roe decision now after Dobbs is particularly bittersweet.
Sure. And, you know, I want to bring this home to Montana. We had an election in 2024 with a constitutional initiative on the ballot. Can you remind us what that ballot initiative was and what that kind of means for the state of access to abortion right now in Montana?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as folks remember, we passed with a vast majority of votes, CI 128. So what CI 128 does is explicitly names the protection of abortion in Montana's constitution. For many years, since 1999, we've relied on the Armstrong decision for the precedent in the judicial system for the right to access abortion care. And as we have all seen over the course of the last 4 years, the attacks on the judiciary just continue here in Montana. And we didn't want to rely solely on a court's willingness to uphold precedent to keep that right to an abortion. As we saw with the Dobbs decision, things that we have long thought could not be changed or should not be changed can be changed. And so we wanted to ensure that there was a very clear, explicit right to an abortion in the Constitution. And the vast majority of Montanans agreed that that should be the case, which was very heartening, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, it, as you mentioned, CI 128 passed decisively in Montana. So what does that tell you about the popularity of being able to access abortion? It seems like it doesn't necessarily just mean politics anymore when the vast majority of a really red state voted in favor of this constitutional initiative.
Mm-hmm. I think the outcome of this election really just provided the data for what we all knew was true all along, right? Which is Montanans are fiercely protective of their right to make their own medical decisions. They're fiercely protective of their privacy. They care about that for themselves, but they also care about it for the other people in their lives, right? People are looking out for each other. And I have to say, it really restored a lot of hope I have around where people stand on policy and people's understanding of how policy impacts their lives. I think when we think about electoral politics and elections and candidates, I don't know that people are making that connection quite yet, but it gives me hope that people will be able to make that connection, right? That people understand, first of all, when it comes to abortion, it is actually not a partisan issue. It's not an issue that when it happens in people's lives is political, right? It's just part of our lives as part of healthcare. So I think we knew all of that, but seeing it play out across our state was really reassuring and energizing, I think, for folks who are in this work and who care about access to healthcare.
Sure. Are you at all concerned, as well as the folks you work with at Planned Parenthood Advocates of Montana, are you guys concerned at all about the future of reproductive rights in Montana?
I think we all need to be concerned about the future of reproductive rights in our states, right? So here in Montana, I'm concerned for in Montana, and I'm also concerned in our surrounding states, and I'm concerned around it across the rest of the country, because what we know and knew before the Dobbs decision is that there are great swaths of the country that no longer have access or who weren't going to have access to care. And so for the places where we can provide that care, it's really important to those states, but is important for the broader region and for people across the country to know that there are places where there is access to care. When I think about the state of Montana, do I have concerns? I absolutely have concerns. I think it's unfortunate that while the overwhelming majority of folks voted to protect this right, we have some bill drafts that we're seeing already going through the legislature that aim to restrict the right. I think that will continue. It will continue to be a waste of taxpayer time and dollars defending unconstitutional laws. And it's, a distraction, I think, from providing the care and increasing access to care across our state. So there will continue to be attacks, I am sure, at least for the short term. It's my hope that over time, the folks, the very small group of people who are opposed to access to abortion will realize that A, they're out of step with the voters, which they should always realize, but also they'll see the limits of attacks on abortion with this new constitutional language. But that doesn't mean they'll stop, right? We'll constantly be defending, even with protections in place.
Yeah. I guess my next question would be, post CI 128, are there things that can be done at a state level right now to limit access to abortion?
I think that's a really great question. And I feel that the language of CI 128 is incredibly strong. Will there be attempts to? Yes, right? Again, politicians, extreme politicians, really trying to push the limit to see what the court will say. But at the end of the day, that language is very, very strong and is very explicit about what it means. So on a state level, I think that, you know, as I said, there'll be some testing of it, but I feel like we have done a really good job as the voters in the state protecting this right going forward.
Sure. And of course, recent news, we have a new administration taking power. We have lots of new folks in Washington, changes of power, changes of leadership. My next question for you is, what does that mean for a national abortion ban? Is that a serious concern for folks that your organization are worried about? And what would that mean for Montana as well?
Yeah. Yeah. So, to be frank, I am worried about it. I am worried, of course, about the signing and passage of a national abortion ban, right? That would be devastating across the country. I'm actually equally or not more worried about work on the federal level that would chip away in the same way we've seen happening at state levels, because that's more insidious, right? It takes a while sometimes to notice that there have been attacks on providers, for example. Do I think that there's going to be a national abortion ban? Like, I think we'll have to see, right, if that gets signed into law. But will there be attacks on the right to choose our own personal healthcare decisions and to access abortion across the country? Absolutely, there will be. How that plays out, as I said, I think remains to be seen. But I do think it's really important for us not to feel complacent and also to think about our role, again, as Montanans in our region and as our country, to stand up for what we believe in and to make sure that we are vocal and remind people constantly that the vast majority of folks in our country want there to be safe access to abortion, right? That's where the majority is. That's where, pretty much regardless of state, we figured out. So making sure that we are taking a stand and continuing to show that that is the majority opinion, that is the mainstream opinion, and these other the politicians who don't believe that are totally out of step.
Sure. Well, that leads me to my next question. That's, what can Montanans be doing right now to continue to fight for reproductive rights and reproductive freedom? What work still needs to be done, and what can people do right now?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I certainly think that we have lovely language and that'll be going into our Constitution. It's not quite there yet. It'll be there by July 1st. And it is still important to stand up when the legislature brings forth these bills, right, that came to cut off access, and hold our legislators accountable. The people who are not championing what it is that the people believe need to be held accountable. They need to be held accountable while they're sitting there in the legislature, and then they also need to be held accountable, you know, when we're back in an election cycle. And I think the other thing is talking to one another and making that connection between policy and candidates, right? And making sure that folks understand that checking one box is not as simple as that, right? While we have protections, we should now be thinking about how can we expand that right? How can we support Montana's abortion providers in making sure that folks have access to the care, that we have expansion of that care, all of those things. And I would also say, you know, there's a lot of issues that are connected, right? So making sure that we are standing up for the Medicaid expansion, making sure that we are standing up for vulnerable communities, making sure that we are looking out for our trans and non-binary neighbors who also need health care, which is personal medical decisions, right? So there's a lot of work still to be done. And I find it energizing to know how many folks are with us on this.
Well, thank you, Martha, for being on the show with us today. I know a lot of people had some of those questions. You answered a lot of questions for us. Of course, there's a lot still unknown. We'll stay in touch with you and continue asking questions and continue fighting for reproductive freedom in Montana. Thank you again for being here.
Thanks, Gabby. I appreciate it.